Why bother dreaming? Anyone with Alzheimer's is unable to dream. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dream Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with Instant Illumination. Why bother to dream? Why bother to have imagination? Why bother to do that thing? Why bother to live in the past? When we live in the past, if I were to say to each one of us, okay, let's go. We're going back to the year 1900. And you say, oh, okay, fine. So what would you do? Would you say you want to change your clothes first to 1900? No. Would you say you want to find out what city we're going to and read up about the city to know what it was and is and could be? Or do you say to me, Herb, good. Now. And so now we're back in 1900. And then you say, I'd like to have a phosphate, you know. That's something from the drugstore, you know, for soda water or something like that. So you go into the drugstore and they make you a phosphate. And you drink the thing and you say, it's sparkly water, you know, good taste to it. And you look at me and you say, gee, Herb, that's a nice suit you have there. And I say, thank you. It's my Sunday best. I thought when I was going to take you out, I should take you out dressed up nice. But this is only a little town of a couple thousand people, you know. You don't have to dress up, you know. Oh, yes, you do. This is 1900. This is where people show what their class is by how they dress. You know. What do you mean, this is 1900? Is there any other time? We're living in the now. And I say, Entschuldigung, you know. So, but the thing is, you don't do that. You don't make comparisons with something that you don't know that you're making comparisons with, that you know that nothing like that ever existed. Because you are now 1900. You are not 2008. You are 1900. You are living in that time, and you do not have to change your clothes, because the moment you are in 1900, you're wearing the 1900 clothes. The moment you're in 1900, you have your 1900 house where you live, your 1900 car, such as it is, your buggy or whatever. You have your streets and what have you in 1900. How many highways were there in 1900? 140 miles of highway in the entire United States. Kind of interesting, isn't it? 140 miles. My goodness, that's only like from here to Los Angeles, or not even there. Yes. But you couldn't even drive to Los Angeles if that's where all the highways were. And it just wouldn't get you. You'd be on dirt road most of the time. Well, those people were on dirt roads too. And what kind of tires did they have on their car? What kind of balloon tires did they have? What kind of wonderful tires and shock absorbers? What did they have that kept them from being shocked by the bumps in the road and stuff like that? They didn't have them. They didn't have any shock absorbers or anything like that. The wheels were just on solid axles that went right through the middle of the car, and the wheels were on the outside, and when a tire went down, the whole car went down. The tire went up, the whole car went up, you know. Because there's some springs, such as they were, but all the refinements that we know today were not there. And the refinements we know today, with all the electronic gadgets in them, they would be utterly amazed to see that then. Imagine that. Okay, don't. Because you're now in 1900. Okay. You say, that's not too hard. 1900. Something in you knows all about 1900. Because been there, done that. because you're universal, you're one with the all, you know them. Okay, now, here we are, sitting here on the deck. I say, okay, now we're going to the year, what, 3,000? How's that? Mm-hmm. 3,000. Okay. Doesn't mean a thing to you. You have no comparison. You have no idea what's going to be happening. Well, so we're in 3,000, and we're in some a small California town of Campo of 1,200,000 people, you know, just a small town. And we have our ranch out here, which is surrounded by houses on all sides, you know, surrounded by people, and yet nobody knows we're here because we are low-key and because we are a meditation center. And people aren't interested in meditation centers. They're interested in everything else. So we're interested in meditation centers. Now, what are we going to do here in the year 3000? Well, we'll have our beautiful lake. And our beautiful lake will be fed by what?
Spring, artesian springs. Artesian springs.
By artesian wells. Artesian spring wells. And these artesian wells come up from way, way down in the earth with water that is what?
Crystal clear.
Absolutely pure. Crystal clear. And do we have to turn it off at night?
No.
It runs forever. Then what do we do? We have four other artesian wells. One at the top of each of our mountains surrounding our property here. And these come down as beautiful waterfalls that go into little riverlets, that go into our lake, which go into a little outlet at the bottom of our property. And the water goes distributing itself to the rest of the community in a nice way. Now, every morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 to 4, is a lovely rain. And everything is washed clean and beautiful, and the rain makes everything lovely. And then it stops. And when the sun comes out, it's always modulated. The sun is modulated by our thought. We have the sun shining here, producing weather that is about 75, 80 degrees every day, all day long. And at night, the temperature goes down to 50 degrees, you know, which is just a little snuggly type. And then the rain itself doesn't have to be cold, but it comes down in a very lovely, warm rain. And some of us who like to go out and bathe in the rain get up early and go and bathe in the rain. After we swim the length of the pond, which is approximately a mile long. And we just have a lot of fun. Now, this is the year 3000. And this is right here in Southern California. And this is after parts of California have fallen off into the ocean, you know. And so it has put us within vision, viewing distance of the ocean. So we're right on the ocean now. And we're going to be on the ocean for the next 12,000 years. So, you know, it'll give us time to enjoy it. But that's what and we know that. Because, you see, in 3000, we have the ability to tell the future. You know, the ability the ability to tell the future. And So we in this projected future, and it's true, but we live in the now. We know that we have 12,000 years of the ocean right at our edge of our property here, and we have our yacht tied up out there to go wherever we wish, and then we have a helicopter too. Now, so my goodness, you sound like a bunch of crazy people there with those crazy ideas. Well, if you don't dream, if you don't have imagination, you don't have fulfillment. Now, as we experience each one of these things, we enjoy them. Meanwhile, we just think about them. We give them an opportunity to be true. Anita is telling us that she was working with a gentleman who was older, who was 82, And he lost a lot of interest in life because his wife died, and he had very little to be excited about. And his children would come by, and they would talk about the past, and they would talk about the normal things that people talk about, and each time he would drift away because that wasn't where he wanted to stay. So then Anita would come along and talk about the present. She'd talk about playing a game or going for a drive or doing something right now, right now. And immediately he was on top of it. He was ready to get the road map out and tell her which highways to take and how to drive. And he went to his room and got dressed in his traveling clothes so he'd be comfortable. And he took along his pipe and cigars so that he would really be enjoying himself. And even his bottle of wine, which he liked to have very much. And so he would go with Anita, and Anita said, he'd say, "Anita, don't you want some of this?" And she says, "No, my treat's some beautiful water. Thank you, I'll take my water." And so he says, "Good, stand up for what you want and do it. That's what I do." And so they went out, and they had a good time. And they drove and looked and saw and talked as though he were the most sound, stable person in the world. And then when he got back to his house and his children started talking to him about normal things and responsibility and other things, he drifted away. He became not interested in the slightest. Now, you see, this is how we are with our dreams. If we could forget the past, forget the future, just absolutely live in the present, we would find that the present is rewarding enough. The present is fulfilling enough. You don't know it, and I'm only telling you now for the first time, but President Reagan had Alzheimer's disease, you know, which means he could not live in the present. Or that is, he could not live in the past, actually. And so, you don't know, but he had that while he was in office, too. And he would only deal with things in office that were current, only current activities. He dealt with the state of affairs for the United States in the moment. He dealt in the state of affairs of the world in the moment. And he is considered one of the most outstanding presidents that we've ever had because he lived in the now. They didn't know it. They didn't call it that. They didn't understand it, only because they hadn't asked me. But the thing is, that's where he lived. I went around the world promoting him in my very gentle, unimportant way, but I shook a lot of trees. I shook a lot of bushes where people had ideas of what Reagan was and the kind of president he was and the expectation. And I said, don't underrate him. He is far greater than you can see at the moment, because he is dealing with things as they are and putting them into proper perspective, and you are trying to put them into backward thinking or forward thinking instead of now thinking. And this is true. That's true. And he died in his late 90s, and he was just always happy living in the present, but naturally, having been a great politician, state senator, state governor, and national president, and all that sort of stuff, people wanted to talk to him about the past and about the future. They wanted to project with him. And he says, no. He said, if we live well now, we will have a beautiful world. And this is what Schwarzenegger, now the governor of California, is doing, basically, living in the now with his legislators. That's how he got elected, living in the now. He won hands down on everybody else because everybody else was trying to talk about the past and the future, and he talked about the now, and he's still talking about the now. Oh, he sounds like he's talking about the past and the future just a little bit, but that just keeps a few people in line. Most of the time, he's talking about what he really believes, and that is the now. You see, now, as we look at our property here, and we see it in the now, and we have the vision to see it as fulfilled in the now, then we have the art of doing it. Do we see the international travelers pouring through our property? No. If we want to see them pouring through our property, they surely will. And yes, please, this isn't the time. If we see them pouring through our property, they will. If we see anything untoward, if we see anything going on in the world that is not harmonious for us, then we are empowering it to be. We are giving it the power of our present awareness to be. So now we look at our property here, and we see the beautiful pond or lake perhaps a better term for it, with the beautiful artesian waterfalls that are coming around. Hey, other places didn't have artesian waterfalls until somebody came in and thought them. Oh, well, that was natural. No, it didn't. Somebody thought them. There's probably some of these ancient people, you know, back in the 1600s or the 1500s or 1400s, and they didn't have water. They had to go into wells. And one person of most amazing thought power, he said, well, I think we should have water pouring out of the ground just for everyone to use, just wonderfully pouring out of the ground. And then, lo and behold, up came an artesian well. And the artesian well came up because it was so deep, the water was so pure and so beautiful and so abundant, it served everybody. What did they do? What did the Romans and the Greeks do? They built great
aqueducts.
And these aqueducts channeled the water from these artesian forces as well as from these clear sources all over Rome and Greece and that part of the world. Interesting, isn't it? Now, you think that I don't know what I'm talking about. I sometimes wonder too, but you think I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, don't trust me. Go in the almanac, go in the dictionary, encyclopedia, and look up these things. Look up the stories of ancient Rome, ancient Greece. Look up the stories of Sparta. Look up the stories of all these things, and you'll find there were dreamers there. Who made all those beautiful statues in Rome and Greece? Who made all the Parthenon? Who made all these fantastic buildings that had no purpose whatsoever? And where did the Oracle of Delphi sit?
On a volcano.
She sat over a vent from a volcano. And the fumes of the volcano sort of inebriated her or hallucinated her, so she could speak what was in her heart, what was the depth of her being. They couldn't be there very long. And so each had a shift, you know, of maybe about 3 hours or less. But that's what it was. And they gave wise judgment. Wise judgment. And they were believed by the emperors, the kings. They were believed by everyone. Now, we don't need a volcano vent to sit over. We just sit over our own inner self and listen to the divine within. And watch what sort of magic, watch what sort of outstanding things flow forth from us. Go to the Father within, and the Father who seeth in secret will reward you openly. Now, that's a lie. That's just some religious talk. Well, it's religious talk that I believe. It's religious talk by a teacher that I have great respect for. And it's religious talk by a teacher who I have known for years and years and years. And I have never ceased to believe absolutely in the magic that he beholds. How about you? Have a lovely day, and dream. Dream. Dream your wildest dream. For your wildest dream is the reality somewhere, and it might as well be the reality right where you are. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.